Hey everyone, welcome back to the Monday Night Pod, Fenske and Tyler. We're covering Tyler's message this week that was given out of Psalm 73 with the title of Corrective Lens.
Yeah, so Psalm 73, it's a psalm of Asaph, and it's kind of a switch up. You know, we're used to a lot of the psalms being of David, and last couple weeks we went in Psalm 72, it was a psalm of Solomon. Now we're getting into the psalms of Asaph, and if you don't know who Asaph is, First Chronicles tells us that he was the director of the choir, he was the leader of worship in Israel, and it's a deep, heavy psalm. You know, there's a lot in there, and definitely a lot to expound upon. But we see Asaph, he's going, even though he's, you know, the director of worship, right? He knows that he's deep in his faith with the Lord, and it's all about praising the Lord. But he's at a crisis point in his faith because he's dealing with the frustration of, Lord, I'm devoted to you, but I'm not seeing the benefits of that. And not only am I not seeing the benefits of that, I'm seeing those who aren't devoted to you prospering.
Yeah.
You know, they're prospering and they're wicked, and in their arrogance, it seems like, you know, everything's going their way, and it can feel like nothing's going my way, you know? And so we see him in that frustration, and him working it out through that. And he writes this psalm for us, you know, just in case we ever find ourselves in that situation or have those feelings where we're envying the arrogant and just seeing the wicked prosper, and it's driving us crazy, you know?
Yeah, you did a good job tonight, too, of just developing that concept, right, of, you know, seeing other people seemingly prosper despite them showing no regard for the works of the Lord, right? You know, he said, as for me, verse 2, my feet had almost slipped. I love that verse. My feet had almost slipped. Right, and it's such a good description, as you covered tonight, with really that verse 2 through 12, right? Because we've all been there where it's like you're feeling like this is what the wicked are like, always carefree, they increase in wealth. Verse 10, therefore the people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. I always love this where, at least in my Bible, you got the footnote, the meaning of the Hebrew for this verse is uncertain. I'm like, dude, this rings exactly right. You know, your modern day gurus on Instagram, right, where it's, you know, they develop these followings, and they got all these sycophantic people that are, you know, following their preaching and messages, and also claiming to make all this money, right, drinking up waters in abundance, right? They scoff, they speak with malice, and their arrogance, they threaten oppression, their mouths lay claim to heaven, their tongues take possession of the earth, right, and they're free from the burdens common to man, they're not plagued by human ills. It's like, man, it's such a just a tremendous section of scripture. This is one of the psalms that I have in my Bible where it's boxed around the psalm. Psalm 73, you can see it. I got it boxed around there because this psalm is, man, this is one I've studied for just years.
Yeah.
You know, and you can really feel that those verses, you know, 1 through 12. Like you were speaking to tonight, it's like, this is what the wicked are like, always carefree, they increase in wealth.
Yeah.
Thought you made a good point about just the era of grace, you know, that we're living in a period where God is not judging on the earth as, you know, not judging on the earth as he will when he comes back at the millennium.
Yeah.
Where there is going to be judgment on the earth, right? That, you know, a quick note about that. There's many sections of scripture there, but Malachi 4 says, right, when the Lord comes back, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant, every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. There will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. So we're living in that prolonged period that when, you know, from the Lord going back up to heaven and promising his return, we're living in that span where, yeah, people are not being judged for what they deserve, right? That as you said from Matthew, he causes his sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know, and that's an important thing to remember in that context, you know?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, like I said tonight, a lot of times when, you know, we're frustrated with others or we feel like we're not seeing justice from the Lord, it's important to remember that, you know, oftentimes we'll want justice for others, but we appreciate when the Lord's showing us mercy. And praise be to God that we're in a time period where He is extending that grace and He is delaying the calamity that is to come to the wicked, you know, overall, in the final calamity that's to come to the wicked. It's important to appreciate that and remember if it wasn't for that period of grace, you and I wouldn't be here right now, right? We all of us would have been swept up immediately, but because He's given us that chance, you know, He's given us that time to get to know Him and change our ways.
Yeah, and I think you said tonight you're going to hammer verse 15 next week, right? If I had said I will speak thus, yes. I would have betrayed you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So not going to touch on that tonight. That'll be on next week pod. It's just a follow-up to next week's message. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terror? Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. It's important to note that there's this time that's given for repentance, but eventually, if you sow according to the sin nature, from that nature you're going to reap. Yeah. And it is sudden. Mm-hmm. It is sudden. There's a distinction that you have where Proverbs tells you that though the righteous stumble,
they will not fall.
They do not fall. Mm-hmm. But the wicked are cast suddenly down. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors? Referenced that in my teaching last week, but you know, if you follow sports whatsoever, there's no way, even national news, there's no way you miss the story of Sharon Moore, right? Mm-hmm. And this is not me sitting here passing judgment on him, but it was that sudden. I remember I opened up my phone, I'm looking at just the news for the day, and here it is, the Michigan football coach just fired, and I was like, whoa, you know, what exactly happened here? Because it wasn't like their on-field performance had necessarily merited. Well, here's been something that had been going on for years and seemingly been getting away with it. Mm-hmm. So you could have, if you knew what was going on there, as many people in the building evidently did, mm-hmm. with the coaching staff, it would seem like he was getting away with it. Mm-hmm. He's got this $30 million contract. He's in this promoted position. You would look at him, and from what the news articles were saying, he wasn't doing a great job with the position. So you might have been like, why is he there, not me? And he's getting away with this behavior where he's, you know, engaging with the staffer. People are even, apparently another staffer came to him and said, hey, this is obvious. And he did not accept that correction. Mm. He's still going on with it. And then the span of 24 hours loses $30 million, his job, his relationship with the mistress, and is arrested. Mm. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors, right? That's what you're getting as a believer is, though you stumble, you do not fall. Mm. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if you can accept correction in your life, you can accept that rebuke. You are the man, as Nathan told David. He said, I have sinned against the Lord, right? Then the Lord's going to sustain you, that humble heart. But if you're carrying on like the wicked, they are going to come to a day of disaster. And the older that you get, the more that you see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Where it looks so good on the surface, and all of a sudden, bang, yeah. It just collapses under them.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example. It makes me think of, you know, one of the things that I didn't get to say tonight that I meant to say is when Jesus says that, you know, what benefit is it to a man to gain the whole world? Mm-hmm. Yet forfeit his soul,
yeah.
Right? So even if there's a chance where, like with Alexander the Great,
yeah.
Like the dude had literally everything,
right.
And it's like, and it ended like that, right? But like, what's the benefit of it? It was just for a time here on earth, all of eternity, then he's losing.
Right.
It would have been better for him to have nothing on earth, to experience many blows on earth, but to have eternity with the Lord. Right, so it's important to keep that perspective in mind as well. You know, where this is just a moment. You know, like I referenced, it's not even the fourth quarter right now, but there will be finality to all of this, and eternity will last forever.
Well, let me say something too, because you know, this psalm is touching on envy. He says, "I envy the arrogant." Mm-hmm. So he's not trying to pretend that he's not envious. He is envious, right? And envy can be a terrible emotion because it can make even good people really bitter.
It'll rot you from the inside.
It'll rot you from the inside.
He says, "I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you."
Yeah, that's right? What it turned into. My heart was grieved, and my spirit embittered over this. You reference Alexander the Great. I have a few points about envy. One, you don't know somebody's actual situation, and that's really important to note, especially in the social media age. You don't know actually what's going on. The example would be, that was national news, right? But here's this couple that was their whole thing on Instagram, is we're the happiest couple, and you know, our relationship is so great, and look at us. And this, how it actually went down, is they literally had done like a little selfie picture together on this beach, posted the Instagram post. People who were there were witnessing this argument that was happening as they're trying to get the post up, taking this picture, that started to turn violent. It ended in murder. And that is, as this, you know, our perfect relationship, and here's three tips on how your relationship can be better like ours, is going on, right? So you have no idea what's actually going on behind the scenes. You have no idea what that man or that woman is actually like. You have no idea what the bank account actually is. Okay? You know, you want to talk about money. Proverbs gives you a lot of wisdom about that. One man pretends to be rich, yet is poor. Another is poor, yet, you know, pretends to be rich. There's a lot of that going on right now. You don't know it, actually what's going on in the situation. And then the other thing on a deeper level, you blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
When I read something like The Hiding Place, and I've read that book a few times, when I read it the latest time, what really jumped out to me was that Betsy Ten Boom, so Corey Ten Boom's sister, she was so bulletproof that she's in a concentration camp and happy as a clam. Corey's observing with her own eyes that even though she's in this place of misery and torture and death, she's so bulletproof in her spirit that she's having just as much enjoyment and fun as she would back in their home in The Hague in Netherlands. Nothing changed. All her circumstances changed around her. Nothing could break her spirit. Right? And it's like, that's something that I read that, and when I read that through, and that stuck to me, and I was like, man, that is what you actually aspire to, because we're all so subject to, here's the current circumstance, here's how the circumstances are changed. Well, this circumstance changed, now I'm happy. This circumstance changed, now I'm upset. This person has that. This person has that. Jealousy, envy, so on and so forth, where it's like, it's blessed are, it's supposed to be happening inside of you. It's a change inside of you. We get so fixated on all the external things. God's trying to change you on the inside, change your spirit, so that even if you got dumped in a concentration camp, nothing changed. You're still faithful. You're still having a great time. like that description of that, because all she wanted in life was to help people and bless people, and now she's put in this ministry where here's all these people that have needs that she can help, right? And it was just so poignant to me of what a shift, because how easy it would be to be miserable. And that's how it started off. They get to Ravensbrook and the whole place is miserable and there's this fighting and, you know, just all this misery going on, and how things flipped within, you know, the squad bay that they were in off of just her bringing the love of Jesus Christ into that place where she was just bulletproof. So when those are the things that I try to go to, when you can get on that, stuck on that loop, like is happening here in verses 1 through 12, because it's so easy to do that. I think especially in today's age where everybody is trying to go out of their way to try to flaunt their wins, so to speak, real or not, on social media. You know, and it's easy to become envious.
One of the things that also helps me with that, and I try to make the point of that tonight, is whenever you keep your eyes on the Lord, like Betsy did, it makes it that much easier to stay faithful for him because that's where your focus is. As soon as you take your focus from the Lord and how can I serve the Lord and serve people and advance the kingdom, as soon as my focus goes from that to people,
right?
And like you just said, what are they doing? What do they have that I don't? And why is this going their way? And letting that bitter root of envy take place, you know, that's kind of the perspective change, right? How can I keep my focus on the Lord, like in verse 1, where surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, and just run with that rather than, you know, if I'm focusing on people, that's an endless rabbit hole that you can go through.
Yeah, and surely God is good to Israel to those who are pure in heart, right? 1 Peter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy. He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, right? And then it talks further about that, but it's, so you got an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You know, you bring up Alexander the Great, and that's always been a very interesting figure to me historically, but, you know, what good is it for man to gain the whole world? But that didn't come with any enjoyment for him, right? He ran out of worlds to conquer. He did some things towards the end that were, you know, really just negative and bad for him and were, you know, piercing his spirit because he was kind of a little out of control, right? And ended up, you know, murdering one of his friends. And dies at a very young age with just not feeling the fulfillment that he probably thought was going to come about from what, you know, he saw as his purpose. But he gained the whole world, yet forfeited his soul because he missed the one thing that he needed, which was Jesus Christ. You know, so it's like, I believe it was C.S. Lewis that said that, right? So if you aim at heaven, you'll get heaven and earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you'll get neither. You know, this does not work. Planet Earth does not work. And your life on planet Earth does not work without the Lord. So no matter how much it may seem like somebody else is, you know, currently living this great life, It's not going to come with the fulfillment that it should because there's a big hole there where they may be chasing stuff, right? But you understand it as a believer that don't fight over stuff because if you didn't get this, God's got something better. Right? You brought that up if you didn't, you know, you didn't get promoted at work and somebody else did.
There's a reason for that.
All right. God's got something better.
Absolutely.
You may have wanted that. It wasn't what God had for you because God had something better. And he knows exactly what fits you and what you need at the right time.
Absolutely.
And we get that wrong so many times. So how many, you know, I feel like I'm starting, you know, I'm getting up in years, right? But as I look back, all the different things that I thought that I wanted or needed, and it turns out that God had something better. Amen. And the thing that I thought that I wanted, if I would have ended up with that, as a comparison to what God actually gave me, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. I was so off course. Mm-hmm. Right? I would have not enjoyed that. That would have been, you know, incomprehensibly less of a calling than what God has set in front of me instead. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's just a good overall perspective when it comes to dealing with envy.
Amen.
You know.
Yeah. The verse that comes to mind for me as we close is and correct me if I'm wrong, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Mm-hmm. That's something that comes to mind. And if we can stay in that place, you know, we'd be blessed all the more and be able to handle it when we either aren't seeing things through, you know, from the beginning to the end or we're starting to envy those around us.
Yeah, you're referencing Timothy there where
I believe so.
Is that 1 Timothy, I believe? You're telling
someone. Oh, there it is. 1 Timothy 6:6. Mm-hmm. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yeah.
For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Mm-hmm. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You know, that'd be a great place for all of us to be, right?
Yeah.
So that's, again, hope you guys listen to the word, and I had a great time, you know, just conversing over it right now through the pod. Some deeper insights and some things that we didn't have the time for. But again, this is the Monday Night Pod. First part is Psalm 73, the corrective lens. Tyler and Fenske, hope you guys have a great week.